Ever wondered why the US dollar is the dominating currency in the world, out of 185 currencies that exist worldwide? In this episode of Doc Economics Podcast, we will try to explain to you the reason behind this unchallenged rule of the US dollar in the world of currencies. To understand how the dollar attain its present status as the king of currencies, it is important to go back to the history of currencies. In earlier times, gold standard was used to value currencies. The gold standard is a monetary system where a country's currency or paper money has a value directly linked to gold. In gold standard, countries agreed to convert paper money into a fixed amount of gold. A country that used the gold standard set a fixed price for gold and bought and sold gold at that price. That fixed price was used to determine the value of the currency. For example, if the US sets the price of gold at $500 for an ounce, the value of the dollar would be 1/500th of an ounce of gold. The gold standard was later completely replaced by something known as fiat money. By the word fiat, it is implied that by a government's order, or fiat, the currency must be accepted as a means of payment. A fiat system, as opposed to gold standard, is a monetary system in which the value of currency is not based on any physical commodity, but is allowed to fluctuate dynamically against other currencies in the foreign exchange markets. The good thing about gold standard is that it sets a limit on how much currency may be printed or issued, as the physical quantity of gold acts as a limit on the issue of that currency. This way, inflation or rise in prices can be avoided, as prices rise when there is too much money circulating in the market to buy goods and services. Before the First World War, international trade was conducted on the basis of the classical gold standard. In this system, trade between countries was settled using physical gold. Nations with trade surpluses, which means exports being greater than imports, accumulated gold as a payment for their exports. Conversely, nations with trade deficits, that is more imports than exports, paid for their imports in gold.
American President Herbert Hoover famously remarked in 1933, "We have gold because we cannot trust governments." This gold standard emerged in 1871, following its adoption by Germany. By 1900, the majority of the developed nations were linked to the gold standard. In fact, the United States was one of the last countries to join in. World War I changed the scenario. After the war, political alliances underwent change, countries were in greater debt, and government finances took a major hit. While the gold standard was not suspended, it was inoperational during the war, showing its weakness in difficult times. This created a lack of confidence in the gold standard, and it was felt that the world needed something more flexible on which to base its global economy.
In July 1944, with the end of the Second World War near, the delegates from 44 Allied countries met at Bretton Woods, New Hampshire in the United States to develop the so-called Bretton Woods Agreement, which would go on to be the framework for the global currency markets until 1971. The goal was to devise a system to manage foreign exchange that would not put any country at a disadvantage. At that time, the United States held the largest gold reserves. It was decided that instead of linking world's currencies directly to gold, they could be linked to the US dollar, which was linked to gold. The dollar, in turn, was convertible to gold at a fixed rate of $35 per ounce. Thus, the gold standard was carried on, albeit in a more indirect manner, and this made the dollar the dominant reserve currency. It was decided that the central banks would maintain fixed exchange rates between their currencies and the dollar. In turn, the United States would redeem US dollars for gold on demand. Thus, instead of gold reserves, other countries accumulated reserves of US dollars. And needing a place to store their dollars, countries began buying US Treasury securities, which they considered to be a safe store of money. The United States had the responsibility of keeping the dollar price of gold fixed and had to adjust the supply of dollars to maintain confidence in future gold convertibility. Initially, the Bretton Woods system operated as planned. Japan and Europe were still rebuilding their post-war economies, and the demand for US goods and services and dollars was high. Since the United States held about 3/4 of the world's official gold reserves, the system appeared to work just fine. In the 1960s, European and Japanese exports became more competitive with US exports. The US share of world output decreased, and so did the need for dollars, making converting those dollars to gold more desirable. The deteriorating US balance of payments, combined with military spending due to the Vietnam War, resulted in a large supply of dollars around the world. Meanwhile, the gold supply had failed to catch up. Eventually, there were more foreign-held dollars than the United States had gold. The U.S. was vulnerable to a run on gold, and there was a loss of confidence in the U.S. government's ability to meet its obligations, thereby threatening both the dollar's position as reserve currency and the overall Bretton Woods system. By the early 1970s, countries began demanding gold for the dollars they held, in order to arrest the rising prices in their own countries. As a bold step in 1971, President Nixon separated the dollar from gold. Foreign governments could no longer exchange their dollars for gold, and in effect, the international monetary system turned into a fiat one. Now, coming to the reason why the US dollar remains the most traded currency in the world. Just to give you an idea in numbers, 1.93 trillion US dollars are in circulation worldwide. Out of that, nearly 70% of $100 bills and nearly half of $50 bills are in circulation outside the US. When dealing in financial matters, trust is the most important factor. In any financial transaction, you would want that the currency that you transact in should be easily available to both buy and sell. In technical terms, it should be liquid. Secondly, it should be convenient to deal in that currency. For this, it is important that all the parties involved are comfortable in dealing in that currency. Thirdly, it should be a good store of value. What that means is that the currency should be relatively stable and should be backed up by a robust financial system, which makes it a stable currency as a store of value. Currencies that are liquid, in other words, the ones which have the highest volume of trade, have low transaction costs, and are therefore more likely to be chosen as a preferred and efficient means for exchanging goods. International currencies also serve as store of value. Safety is a key attribute, and the demand for safe assets undergirds large parts of the international financial system. Now, the main reason why the US dollar is so powerful is that it commands trust as a safe currency, and it is the preferred currency for all the financial activities that governments, banks, companies, and people engage themselves in at a global level. Let us look at each entity in the global financial system to understand the reasons behind their preference for the US dollar. Firstly, traders. One of the main factors in exporting or importing any goods or services is the currency in which that transaction will take place. For the transaction to happen smoothly, both the exporter and importer should be comfortable with that currency. And that comfort will come from the acceptability of that currency in the local markets, because ultimately, one will have to convert that currency into the local currency. Thus, easier it is to exchange a particular currency, the more acceptable it is. This is where the US dollar scores over other currencies. To give you a perspective, although the US share in world trade is only about 10%, around 80% world trade takes place in dollars and 65% dollar supply is used outside of the United States. Most countries in the world do not use their own currency for exports. Of course, the United States is an exception. 93% of its imports and 97% of its exports are invoiced in its own currency, the US dollar. Now let us look at another entity, that is business corporations, which need funding for their businesses at a cheap rate. These corporations usually borrow these funds from the market by floating bonds. Most businesses, particularly those based outside US, prefer to borrow by floating dollar denominated bonds. US dollar markets are attractive because they are large and liquid and provide access to a broad and deep investor base, all of which can help reduce transaction costs. Apart from corporations, these borrowers can also be banks or governments. The preeminence of the US dollar as the global reserve currency and in trade invoicing further motivates its international use. Although the United States accounts for one quarter of global economic activity, around half of all cross-border bank loans and international debt securities are denominated in US dollars. The amount of outstanding international debt securities and cross-border loans that are US dollar funding is $22.6 trillion as of Q4 2019, or 26% as a share of world GDP, corresponding to about 50% of all outstanding international debt securities and cross-border loans. Lastly, we talk about central banks. Central banks are entrusted with the task of maintaining acceptable levels of inflation and a stable currency. In order to achieve this, all central banks like to hold sizable reserves of foreign exchange. Foreign exchange reserves are funds that central banks keep as a backup to prevent any drop in the value of their own currencies. Also, they like to hold these reserves in what is known as an anchor currency, that is, the currency against which central banks aim to stabilize their own currency. Because of its prominence in trade and financial transactions, dollar is the dominant anchor currency for central banks, thus, dollar is also known as the safest currency. Many of these reserves are in cash, or U.S. bonds, such as U.S. Treasuries. And since these bonds are denominated in U.S. dollars, so the central banks need to buy dollars to buy them. According to estimates, until 1970, currency of about 30% of countries was anchored to the dollar, with the rest split between UK pound, the French franc and the Soviet ruble. By 2015, the dollar zone expanded considerably, including not only the former Soviet bloc, but also communist China, large parts of Asia, Africa and all of Latin America. Talking about dominance in foreign reserves, at present, according to the latest IMF data, more than 61% of all foreign bank reserves are denominated in US dollars. The euro's share is much smaller, at only 20.5% of holdings, after peaking in 2009 at 28%. The use of the renminbi, though marginal today, has almost doubled over the past 3 years to 2%. This completes the trinity of dollar dominance. On the trade side, dollar is dominant in being the preferred currency to transact in. For banking, or borrowing and lending, dollar is the most liquid and trusted currency. And finally, on the policy front, central banks around the world prefer to keep their foreign exchange reserves in the dollars. Thank you for listening in. We hope this episode has helped you to develop a deeper understanding of how the international currency system has evolved, and why the US dollar has come to dominate it.